Okay, Chapo, let's go. We're back. It's your Chapo for the weekend, or for Monday, tomorrow, when you're probably listening to this. Let's just dive right into it. Obviously, we're here now, and probably like the big thing this week that we have to talk about, we're probably going to spend most of the show talking about, is this tax bill that's winding its way through the halls of government, headed to the president's desk, and is surely going to basically, I don't know, just perform the final coup de grace and whatever's left of, I don't know,
democracy
or America or civil society. I wish I had something funny to say or something more uplifting, but like this is all bad. And the thing that I said earlier this week when it looked like it was going to pass is it's just to me like just a hallmark of just like a defeated culture and society that like we just seem like pretty much worn out by this. And like the class war is over and I feel like the bad guys won.
Right.
And this tax bill is the culmination of probably 30 to 40 years of the right wing movement in this country to steadily chip away at the welfare state and just transfer more and more of society's wealth into fewer and fewer hands. And they've pretty much done it.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, this thing was always going to pass. It was always going to pass because, you know, the, you know, five respected resistance Republicans, they suck out of the same teat as, you know, Senator fucking Yosemite Sam from Texas. So those donors told them they had to pass this because what is even the point of a Republican president or Congress if you can't pass this piece of shit? It's their last ditch effort at wealth transfer. It's their last ditch effort in beating down people so much they can't even stand up. And
yeah.
People said like, oh, you know what? Rightfully so. They said the Democrats could have done more. They could have always done more. But the thing is, the only person that could have stopped this fucking thing is if Stephen Paddock had a season ticket pass to the Congressional Softball League. I'm serious. That's the only way, because no level of congeniality or phone calls or anything means as much to Susan Collins as donor money. Nothing means as much as a post-retirement speaking gig or fucking no work book or whatever the fuck Jeff Flake is going to do. It does to him.
Yeah, and that's so sobering to see, because the thought always was, the conventional wisdom was, well, yeah, you know, they want to work for their donors, obviously, because they need to be able to fund their campaigns. But at the same time, there are certain things they can't do at the risk of inciting popular opposition that would overcome even a well-funded campaign. But these dudes just fucking took a fire hose piss on the third rail of politics here, cutting Medicare, Medicaid, going whole hog, just saying, yes, we're transferring wealth from the poorest people in the fucking country to the richest people on Earth and in the history of Earth, and we're going to give them even more than they've ever had. And you would think, well, wouldn't they be afraid of the reaction of that? But clearly, they have made the calculation that having their donors at their back and giving them money is more important to securing and maintaining power than actual voters. Because they've clearly done the work and are continuing to do the work of gerrymandering and voter suppression and just demoralizing people, that competitive elections are sort of going away. And as such, the only thing that's going to matter is whether you have the money to sort of outgun whatever Yahoo Honda dealer with a fucking Confederate flag tattoo on his forehead who runs against you in the primary, because that's the only thing you have to worry about.
I mean, we'll see. I feel like when Trump was coming in, I kind of looked at the world around me during 2016, and I take a very unscientific method, and I look at you know, how much money BuzzFeed is spending on this, or how much money Netflix is going in debt. And you look around and you see this bubble of fake cheap credit rolling around, the same thing that we saw from 2003 to 2008. And, you know, that's the kind of economy we had. We had a jobless recovery for the 2008 recession, and we solved the bleeding by just shooting a 30-rope nut of fake money on everything, where there's nothing actually created. Value is just declared, and things are willed into existence by 10 figures of debt that mean nothing to private enterprise. And it's totally unsustainable. And I thought that maybe one of the silver linings with Trump was that the crash was always going to come. And if it came under Hillary, we would get like a wave of competent, horrible blood and soil fascists very quickly 2 years in. But now with the tax bill, I feel like they've sort of took an EpiPen or a testosterone or an adrenaline shot and just jammed it into this zombie economy. So we'll see. Maybe the crash comes a year later than it does. Maybe it comes in 2020. I don't know what happens when that does, but you know, well, we're on borrowed time.
They've structured the tax hikes for, you know, people making under like $100,000 a year or whatever are going to kick in 2 or 3 years. So if the Democrats do get in the White House in 2020, all the Trump shithead supporters would be like, raise my taxes.
Yeah,
as soon as they got in there, they just raised my taxes. Right. They always do.
It depends.
And it's like, and like these other, like, and then and the people who love this and they're like, they're like, if you like giving the government some money so much, why don't you just give them more than what you pay in taxes or whatever? Like, I have more money in my pocket. They're talking about like $400.
Right.
And it's like $400 on one side weighed against like the entire infrastructure of like American civil society that's just being looted and just trashed.
Also,
right now.
What the fuck do you think the government is going to spend that on? They'll instantly buy a new Punisher decal for a helicopter. They're not going to give $400 to the poorest person, you fucking moron.
And here's the thing, like the you know,
you're going to use it to airbrush Rex Tillerson's fucking pussy that lives in his neck. They're going to get Jared a new high chair. It's not going to anything that's actually good with these shitheads in charge. And if it was Obama, it would have been like a new gift machine for the White House.
Well, you know, a lot of people have asked, geez, this is crazy how there's never really been any meaningful congressional action on climate change, even though the evidence for its serious impending threat is pretty clear. And I got to think that this bill is really the biggest piece of climate change legislation we're going to see.
Oh, yeah.
In that this is the way for the wealthiest among us to get enough fucking money that they can create the private infrastructures to survive whatever catastrophe's coming. The fucking biodomes with laser dogs guarding the doorways and fucking moon bases for where fucking Elon Musk can like jack off into outer space and watch the nut get into a gravitational fucking field around the moon or whatever. And that's what the money is going to go towards. It's going to go to their nice private armies and fucking helicopters because they're not going to be roads anymore. It's going to be like fucking Rio de Janeiro.
And I mean, that's
they need as much money as they can before all the fucking wheels come off. And this is how they can get it.
But the newspaper that Jeff Bezos will publish inside Elysium, it's going to be really good. There are going to be some scoops on the Barron Trump administration.
Democracy dies within the Earth's atmosphere.
Yeah.
Elon
Musk and Rick and Morty are going to shoot brainwaves at each other. It's going to be fucking epic.
Well, here's the thing. Like, you know, it's like this is a tax bill, but it's so much more than that. Like, this is a 30 to 40 year culmination of what the right wing and their donors and the billionaires in this country, like the Kochs or the Mercers or whatever, have been working for, which is a fundamentally like restructuring of American society that just leaves the vast majority of people just almost completely naked and vulnerable. And like I said, this is why it feels like we're living in like we lost a war or something, that like this is just like,
well, we did.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they did it in like 2 weeks, which is frankly impressive. That's impressive efficiency.
But they got Mike Flynn for making a phone call too early. We did it.
Well,
the dumbest man in America is going to be mildly inconvenienced for 3 months. We did it.
I mean, the example that someone brought up that I think is a good one is what this is now like the country writ large, what Sam Brownback did to Kansas when he became governor a couple years ago. Arthur Laffer advised him on how to, like, you know, this is the old trickle down, like just tax cuts will create revenue and pay for themselves.
Mm.
And what he did was just blow a fucking hole in the state budget, and it was a disaster. And they're
same
gonna,
thing Rauner is doing in Illinois.
Yeah, they're gonna, and now they're blowing a hole through our entire country's budget. And like, but the thing is, like, that's, it's intended to do that.
Yeah,
and it's intended to do that because, like as Matt said, right after they're going to pass this tax bill, next on the chopping block, Social Security and Medicaid. They're going to privatize both of those. They're going to cut them to the bone. Why? Because there's no money. We don't have any money. Yeah, our budget's
we're
been
spending
destroyed.
Ourselves to craziness.
Yeah, yeah.
We just fucking put $1 trillion in money, just a literal transfer, $1 trillion to the wealthiest people in this country. And there's all of a sudden, where'd the money go? We can't do anything. Oh, my God.
There's also many, many provisions in this tax bill that directly attack education, both public and higher. I mean, this is another
huge... There's Orrin Hatch. Orrin Hatch put in a tax credit for if you send your kid to a religious school. So if you're looking to start a new Taliban, don't worry. The government is looking out for you now.
I believe, I don't know exactly, but I believe like this bill, it cut deductions for like all higher education except for Hillsdale College in Michigan, which is like the
that got taken
is the school that literally lets Kevin D. Williamson be an honorary professor.
Well, they're the only one that invite him in. But
I think clown colleges should be exempt.
that thing that got taken out, but it was so funny. It's like, okay, I'm the equivalent to that is in Hyde Park, the neighborhood I grew up in Barack Obama studied Sufism in. There is a Hotep health food store called Bon Santé, and it's a terrific store, and it has all types of great juices and amino acids. And there's like a painting of Jesus Christ with an afro, with the background is the Milky Way, and it just says the Cosmosis. And it's like if during the stimulus bill, the stimulus bill was just like we're raising the marginal tax rate on all income above $500,000 to 75%, and we're giving a tax credit to Bon Santé on 53rd Street in Hyde Park. That's how brazen it is, but they don't give a shit. And what's great is, you know, let's say Kamala Harris does win or fucking Kirsten Gillibrand or Al Franken, John Conyers super ticket wins in 2020. They will immediately work with these shitheads on fixing the budget deficit because they will take them at their word about being deficit hawks again. Absolutely.
How many of y'all like a grand bargain? What was so amazing is that I honestly don't think that the Republicans even understood how much things have changed in terms of accountability being totally destroyed by the fracturing of the electorate, by people tuning out or becoming hyper-partisan and not caring about details. Because remember, at the beginning of the year, it was Paul Ryan who convinced Trump, we got to repeal Obamacare before we do the tax cut because we're going to need to have a justification we're going to be able to say that we're paying for the tax cut with the savings from getting rid of Obamacare. That was his argument. And then they tried it and they couldn't get it to go. And then they were just like, oh, we can just do it anyway? And no one actually gives a shit about the $1 trillion that we're adding to the debt? Holy fuck. Like, they didn't even fucking realize how far things had gone. And now they do. They're fucking kicking through the door and they're realizing the wood is completely rotten.
I mean, like, yeah, like the other thing that bears, underlining about all of this is like I feel like right after the election, like when we recorded our right after the election year zero show, it was like in the pit of my stomach, like you knew this was coming because like if the right has power in this country, this is what they're going to do because they understand power, and power is about maintaining power and taking away the power of your enemies. The Democrats do not do that when they're in charge, and I think it bears contrasting what the Republicans are doing with their House and Senate and White House versus what the Democrats did in 2008 and 2009.
These fucking pussies had a provision in Obamacare that people could sign up to vote when they went to exchanges, and they fucking took it out because they were afraid it would look too fucking partisan.
Yeah.
He met with the fucking head of all the big five banks. And what did he say? It was something like,
I'm not looking to take away your free lunch. I'm not looking to take away this dog gyro.
amazing, but it's like, it's not that they're naive. It's that they don't give a shit.
They don't care.
They don't give a shit. That's why they didn't.
They don't want the things that they say they want. They don't want the things that their voters want. And their job is basically managing the expectations of people who they have no interest in actually seeing having their lives made better. And that was what the Obama years proved. Yes, they do have a congenital Sorkin-ass fetish for comedy and procedure, and that is built into the liberal worldview in a way that it isn't to conservatives, and that does stop them because they do genuinely believe this. They've internalized a lot of that ideology.
Yeah.
But part of the reason they've internalized it is because that is part of the mechanism that keeps them from ever actually fucking accomplishing anything.
It's irreconcilable with actual ideology that you believe in to the extent that you're going to do whatever it takes to pass legislation that fulfills that.
No. Because as we were talking about, like, When people want to talk about the limited successes of the first 2 years of the Obama presidency, people will say, well, hey, they had 60 votes, but, you know, two of those were guys like Max Baucus or Lieberman. They were basically being held hostage by these conservative Democrats. But that's because they all agreed that they were going to go by the rules where they were going to need 60 for everything. But if you have 51 people in the Senate, and this is never talked about, and certainly never talked about when Democrats are in power, if you have 51 people in the Senate, you can basically do anything you want.
Reid did that at one point, and McConnell famously did it in order to get Gorsuch on the Supreme Court.
Right. Yeah. But they won't.
With
do
judges,
it.
They'll do it, not with legislation.
Yeah, they won't do it with legislation, even though they could.
Yeah, they could have passed with 51 votes. They had the votes for a public option. They had the votes for card check, which would have doubled union membership in the private sector in the country. And they had the votes for the Dream Act.
Do you think 2010 would have happened how it did? Do you think that 2016 would have happened if card check went through? No, but they, you know what? They don't want to hold on to the House, really.
But hold
they don't
on,
really
though.
Want that?
Oh God, no! The responsibility of actually holding power is so fucking bad because it threatens all of the members of leadership. Because then the expectations are made that they can't, they have no interest in actually fucking following through on. And that's a tension that has to be resolved some way. And the best way is to lose one of the houses, and then we don't have to worry about it anymore. But you know what? I'd have to say though, yes. If they'd done that, if they'd rammed everything through, they would have been called crazy radicals who didn't care about democracy and rammed things through in an undemocratic fashion. And as we know, because they were so careful with the Obamacare stuff, they didn't get called that by Republicans for 8 years. So it was it was worth doing it that way.
Obama.
They really gained a lot of goodwill and good faith from their opponents by being that responsible.
The party elected a guy who got into politics by saying that he was born in Kenya. They don't give a shit. They don't. These fucking cocksuckers, even after they passed this insane bill, a bill on par with like the Temer government, any authoritarian faux democratic government, this insane wealth transfer to beat down everyone. They were like, but Obamacare was passed kind of late at night. They don't give a shit because they know what even the fucking National Review cucks, they know what politics is about.
Well, I think I just want to read here from leader of the Senate Democrats, Chuck Schumer. His reply to this.
But the most anti-Semitic presence in the world.
Our general is speaking.
Yeah, when he goes up there and he's like, the biggest tragedy of this bill is that I'm no longer friends with Donald Trump. It's like, fucking die. Like, it is.
I want to just read here from Chuck Schumer. This is what he said about the tax bill. He tweeted, "Tonight, I feel mostly regret at what could have been. Tax reform.
Fuck you.
Tax reform is an issue that is ripe for bipartisan compromise. Ooh. There is a sincere desire on this side of the aisle to work with the GOP, particularly on tax reform, but we have been rebuffed time and time again."
But he's right about that because their donor class wants this fucking bill too.
Yep.
Their donors want less taxes on their ill-gotten gain as much as Republican donors do. So there is bipartisan support for it. It's just they want to couch it and make it more middle class friendly. But at the end, they both have a vested interest in seeing a massive wealth transfer to the upper percentages. But the Republicans had the numbers and are like, why bother with these assholes when we can just get everything and then get all the fucking donor money because we could actually get things done.
Okay. Also, in the Democrats' response to the tax bill, this is not kidding. The Senate Democrats' social media arm, their social media shop,
yeah, I know.
Put
oh,
out
God.
Memes and videos of Ronald Reagan passing tax reform.
He also blew a hole in the fucking deficit, you fucking absolute
cunt.
As
an appeal to bipartisanship. And it's like, partisanship is why the Republicans control all three branches of government.
There is no more bipartisanship. They're going to elect a fucking pedophile, you dumbass.
Now, Will, what were the memes? I enjoy memes.
It was just like Ronald Reagan.
Here,
like,
it's just quotes. Here comes that boy, and he's spilling arms all over a bunch of Nicaraguan Contras.
Let's not forget the fact that Reagan's fat tax cuts that they're lauding because they were bipartisan set the stage for 30 years of wealth redistribution upward and fucking stagnation of wages for actual working people. That's where it all started. Look at the fucking chart.
That was the first starving of the beast. That's where the Kansas blueprint came from, you fucking moron. Where do you think Arthur Laffer made his bones?
One more thing. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi,
Queen,
described the tax plan with a crying emoji face to appeal.
Like, you're 85 years old. You were born in the middle of World War I. Shut the fuck up. Holy shit. You were friends with the Lindbergh baby. Fuck you.
Tell us how this tax bill makes you feel in three emojis or less.
I have to. Carl Baer had a blog post I thought was very important where he pointed out that this whole incident proves conclusively that the case for incremental reform that we keep hearing over and over again from establishment Democrats is completely bogus and meaningless, because the virtue of incremental reform that we're told over and over again is, well, yeah, it's not flashy and it's not what you want, but you make things slowly better for everybody, as opposed to if you're too radical, then you don't get anything accomplished. But look what happened. Everything that all those little slow fucking incremental things that they did in those first 2 years of Obama, Obamacare, which, by the way, repeal of the Obamacare magnate is in this bill.
Yes.
And slightly higher taxes on higher earners and all that stuff. That stuff is all gone now. It's gone. It might as well have never happened. If they had shot for the moon in 2009 and not gotten anywhere, we would be in the same position. But you know what might be different? People might have seen them standing up for big, bold, progressive changes, and maybe the rape ogre isn't president now.
I've heard it said that, you know, Republicans are losing 2018, and when Democrats take the White House, don't worry, they're going to repeal this bill. But you know how people say once you make an entitlement, it's pretty damn near impossible to get rid of that entitlement. The same goes for tax cuts. In 2012, Obama and the Democratic Senate, they made permanent most of the Bush tax cuts.
Yeah, 82% of them.
And the same, we're going to get into this on the Democratic donor class soon. We're going to get into Chaim Saban and the bar mitzvah he gave Jared Kushner. But, you know, talk about entitlements. Okay, entitlements are tough to take away from people, but like normal people who have entitlements that they actually need that are human rights, you can take it away from them because you can just beat them down over generations and then just yank it from their weakened hands. But rich people, they have a pathology where there's a little bug in their brain that tells them they're going to be happier with $60 million than 50, even though they live in a complete moral rot and their lives are hell and they're fucking monsters, because that is a legitimate addiction to want to hoard money like that. You think they're going to give it up? They've already gotten to this point.
No, they actually have fucking money to make sure that whatever happens in the future is not going to affect them.
They want more. If they want it all. They want it all. And the rest of us will have to bow and scrape for them, have the privilege of working for them.
Unless we get...
No, here's the thing. The other thing I want to talk about, like, with regards to, like, the Democrats' utterly weak responses, because here's the thing, they couldn't have stopped this from happening.
No,
right?
No, absolutely
like,
not.
Like the problem is, like, they could have done things like years ago. They could have just chosen to be a party that represents the interests of their voters. They made that choice a long time ago, so we're here now. In the very present term, they probably couldn't have stopped this bill. Their response to it is just so weak and telling, because it's just like, I want you to think about contrasting the Democrats' response to this abomination of a tax bill that, like I said, is just indescribably bad for everyone in so many ways. Contrast their response of the chance of Chuck Schumer or Nancy Pelosi, who just like, we're very disappointed. We tried to be polite and we were rebuffed at every turn. Compare that to that video I know a lot of you saw online this week of Jeremy Corbyn doing a video for Labor where he said, the bankers at Morgan Stanley have described labor under us as a threat. Guess what? They're right. We are a threat to you. And guess what? They're a threat to your lives. So you're goddamn right.
Imagine
like who is the Democrats' enemy?
If you have to ask them,
who's their enemy?
Trump. And rudeness.
Trump and Russia.
Chuck Schumer could make that video, but it's about valets who make night owl blunts in his car when he's going to fundraisers. He makes a big video where he's like, I saw blunt wrapping at the bottom of that mat on my car. It was a gift for my daughter's wedding.
Who are they identifying as the enemies in our society? And until we have a politics, until there's a political movement in this country that says we can either have a democracy in the richest nation in the world that provides a decent quality of life for everyone, or we can have billionaires. but we can't have both.
I like good billionaires. Donald gives good billionaires a bad name.
And here's the thing, like, all the Democrats
die, fuck, please.
And
finally,
all the liberal institutions that underwrite them, Alex Perrine made this point, and I think it's exactly right. Until they realize that they will be the target of a relentless rat fucking campaign by these people who have no regard for the decorum and decency that they so believe in so lovingly. Until they realize that they're going to be the targets of this kind of shit, until they just take away the money from the fucking Robert Mercers of the world. Take away their fucking money. This shit is going to keep happening.
Yeah. I mean, look, the other party is, I cannot reiterate this enough, they're voting for a guy this month, and they're going to go, all of them are going to say, he did that pedophilia in the 70s. It's okay.
Yeah.
That's, they're all making that conscious choice. You can't, they've made up their mind because they hate you and they like the people that hate you.
Yeah. And they will, and they, and as long as, as Will says, as long as they have the money, they're going to pay James O'Keefe to dress up like Pepe Le Pew and try to seduce your house cat for some fucking weird video.
It doesn't matter how fucking dumb and ham fisted and obviously stupid and fake all this shit is. It will work. They got the Democrats to fucking defund Acorn because of that fucking cunt.
Yeah, so an organization that actually helped
reach out, register
to vote, and was one of the leading lights who understood that the housing crisis was coming, and they got.
They got Acorns. Got, but a ludicrously Acorns. Edited video,
and then they fired Sherry Sherry
on another
edited video, because as soon as it happened, they panicked. They shot a bunch of squid ink out of their assholes, and they fucking realized, oh, this is going to look bad. Oh, man, people, they're going to be mad at us. No shit, they're going to be mad at you. They're going to be mad at you no matter what you fucking do, you morons. Whereas what? They have the pedophile senator coming up. And remember Mitch McConnell, when the first accusations came out and the first polls said that he was looking like he might not win, they were like, well, if he gets elected, we're going to look into kicking him out of the Senate. Now that he's in the lead now in polls, McConnell says, I'm going to let the people of Alabama decide. No shit. Like, that was ever not on the agenda.
You know what? It's because these people, like the liberals, exist on this continuum where they think that, like, the other side will be embarrassed when they see them at cocktail parties, and they're not.
Yep.
They don't give a shit. They're not you.
I think it's instructive to contrast the resistance to this bill to the mobilization against the Obamacare repeal, which was successful with a margin of one vote. And the messaging against the Obamacare repeal, which was, I'll call your senators, call these senators, that sort of thing, it was straightforward. It was, this is going to increase the number of uninsured in the country. It's going to take away this entitlement. And this time around, the messaging I saw, the mobilization against the tax bill, it was not as potent. And the messaging was scattershot, right? I saw Planned Parenthood talk about fetal personhood language in the bill. I saw a lot of people talk about the drilling in Anwar provision. And it occurred to me that the Democrats no longer have a language that is useful to describe what is literally class warfare. They don't have a political discourse that, like you say, identifies actual enemies whom you should hate and whom you should fight to defeat and defame.
Excuse me, but they very clearly pointed out that it would actually increase the deficit.
That's it. That's all they have, because they have fundamentally bought that conservative right-wing frame. They are still so scared of Reagan and all of this shit and the Laffer curve that's all they can talk about. The deficit, let us read the bill, please, before we, you know, before it passes.
Part of that is, like, okay, one reason the Obamacare repeal mobilization was successful was because there was a precedent. There was, at least for a few years, there was a precedent of this thing, tangible thing that they were going to take away, because they actually, as lacking as it was and how easily it's going to die soon, Obamacare was something they gave people. When was the last time Democrats gave people, like, a sheer, just unambiguous, they had an unambiguous economic program, an unambiguous piece of fiscal policy that normal people could look at in their lives and say, oh, that time was better for me? They can't, because the stimulus was this mess of public-private partnerships and loans for small businesses and fucking just, you can't figure it out.
It was intentionally designed to hide the government's role. It was written, the language of that of the stimulus was set, it was supposed to be invisible to
people. Because they've spent 30 years. Genius. They've spent 30 years hiding their role because they're afraid Reagan's going to come back from the dead. And they're afraid that people will notice that maybe one sometimes they want to spend more than the other party. So when the time actually came and it's like, lay your dicks on the table. This is our vision of the world. What's your vision of the world? Their vision of the world is, sir, this is – like, did you see that article about Tom Perez's bullshit fundraiser? Where this fucking
no.
Tom Perez, by the way, has he had a sore throat his whole life? What the fuck? Is there a provision in the Democratic Party leadership that they all have to be dying? And have been for 50 years. He just got up there and talked about procedure. What the fuck?
So, you know, when you.
And it's not even working. Even like. Even their Hollywood donor base of like Bryan Singer isn't even donating to them now.
Well, he has health problems at the moment. You know, when you hear these goals,
ate too much pizza.
For civility, listening to both sides, being friends across the aisle, you've implicitly accepted a right-wing reactionary frame that says that politics is just about these petty grievances. Because the conservative frame, who are the conservatives' enemies? It's liberals, pointy-headed college professors, Starbucks cups. It's trivial shit. So, of course, they could be lectured to reach across the aisle. They could even do it because their grievances are asinine. It has absolutely nothing to do with their day-to-day lives. But who are the Democrats' enemies? Is it Wall Street, which hedges its bets between both parties? Is it energy CEOs? Every Democrat elected in West Virginia owns a rickety coal mine. Is it Big Pharma, like Joe Manchin's daughter? Is it recipients of big unearned inheritances, like all of their kids and all of their donors' kids? You can't have this Frankenstein Democratic Party where we say, okay, we're going to have a huge, like a powerful donor base, but also left-wing politics. It's impossible. It's not going to exist. It's just basically powered through chicanery.
And this is why, honestly, like, there's good reason for despair, because it's just like, well, who the fuck else is there
yeah.
for that gap?
I mean, we're basically like, at a point where
we're trying to do something here, like to get our way out of this. But like, you know, like I said, this sinking feeling that was in my stomach right after the election, it's like you knew something like this tax bill was going to come. Like I said, that is the culmination, I said over and over again, of a long drive to basically do away with whatever little threadbare, you know, pieces of the New Deal and civil society or a public sector is left over in this country, and just to make America more, the lives of people more precarious, more stupid, more cruel, and the lives of the greediest, nastiest people even more greedy and nasty.
And, you know, Dave Weigel and several others pointed out, you know, okay, you know, why are people attacking the Democrats? Because none of them voted for this bill. I mean, I'm sorry, that's just the baseline behavior I expect, is not showing up and signing on to it. But you have within the caucus, Bernie Sanders proposed an amendment that would prevent any automatic cuts that will be caused by this bill and this deficit spending to Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. And two Democrats, Mark Warner and I believe Tom Carper, showed up and voted no on it. And Mark Warner said afterwards, you know, listen, I was a member of the Gang of Six or Gang of Eight or whatever. You know, I'm big on entitlement reform. Mark Warner was almost Obama's vice president.
Yeah, me and Pete Peterson were meeting with Kendra Lust and Riley Reid, and we're telling them to not do any more hardcore scenes until we take care of the deficit. We don't want our kids paying this off.
By the way, where the
Riley,
fuck
I was, love you.
Where the fuck was fucking Pete Peterson and his fucking deficit reduction rap squad during this fucking thing?
He was sucking the stem cells out of an infant.
Where was fucking Akon and his no labels and his no labels song,
Chris,
about the deficit
no
busting effects of this fucking tax bill, by the way? I wish they didn't
have no labels. Deploy the capital steps.
Yeah.
You guys,
man, the Capital Steps did a sing-in during the voting, and you saw every yes turn to a no.
I just like
we are all accelerationists now.
Like,
that's the basic.
I don't know what else to say. Like I hate that idea, but like you want to despair. You want to get even realer than this. Like I said, after this tax bill, what's next? Social Security and Medicare. Bye.
Yeah.
We say goodbye to those. oh, what's that on the horizon? Let's say that there is some like big political backlash at how horribly unpopular and nasty all this shit is. Oh, who's that? It's Mike Pompeo and Tom Cotton running our foreign policy, who will do everything in their power over the next couple of years to start another massive fucking war with Iran.
Could I just say, if there was one guy I could will into just spontaneously combusting to save the world, we're going dead zone, it's Tom Cotton.
It's got to be.
That's the
Tom Cotton, CIA head, a guy who basically, like, I read, maybe you saw this. I saw a piece about him, an interview with him in the Times this week, where they asked him, like, what is your guilty pleasure? And Tom Cotton said, I run every morning. I get up early and go jogging every morning so I can reward myself by eating birthday cake every day.
What is he running from? A crawl space?
It's going to be lit when the CIA director Tom Cotton sends Ted Nugent to kill the Ayatollah with a fucking bow and arrow.
That's, you know, that person isn't human. I mean, those are the kinds of ads that you should be running. They should be specific personal attacks on this individual and his family and say, this is not a normal human being whom you might see at Costco or something.
Dead-eyed psychopath who's only thing that really gets him out of bed in the morning other than fucking birthday cake is the thought of starting another massive U.S. war in the Middle East, this time against Iran.
And
boy, oh boy, if you think fucking 2017 was a dumpster fire, just wait till 2018 and 2019
Wait till we lose and wait till Iran starts hitting targets in America that fucking make 9/11 look like a Jade Helm rehearsal drill. It's going to be bad. I mean, like, look, if you are Tom Cotton's sexual partner, if you, like, jack off with him on cam, if you just anything, I don't know what can even take anyone down in America anymore. If Tom Cotton, like, he plays console games, but he hooks it up to that mixer that allows you to use a mouse and keyboard to cheat, that might work now. Just anything, please.
Tom Cotton. He live streams MMA on Twitch and pretends that he's using his
controller. The only people who would take down Tom Cotton are Zufa's copyright attorneys.
Well, yeah, you know,
we're all accelerationists.
Yeah.
At this point, you don't have to worry about the morality of, oh, should I root for the worst to happen in the hope that it will accelerate the mobilization needed to stop it. You don't have to worry about that. We're in that timeline.
In 2018, we will see you when we are now hosting the show in Iran, when we're the new Tokyo Roses.
You keep saying that, Felix. We're not on board with that, okay?
Well, you're going to be. Talking about being an accelerationist.
Well, that goes to show why you can't resist this right-wing class warfare without an effective and monolithic working class party, because the Democratic Party, the members of the Democratic Party, the elected officials, who are just the same running birthday cake eating creeps as Tom Cotton, are just always going to be widely reviled. And Matt, as you pointed out, of course, these poor schlubs who won't benefit from this bill whatsoever, they're just going to get fucked by it. Of course they should vote Republican, because Republicans will still give them something they want. They're going to trigger the libs. Looking at the polling in this bill, the messaging against it was totally ineffective. You had a massive number of people undecided. They don't know anything about this bill. There was just no coherent opposition message. So people who had an opinion about it just relied on their pre-existing affiliations and grievances. And as we saw online, the chuds are all hooting and oinking for this bill because it will trigger the libs.
Oh yeah, no, you should have seen it. If you had like a tweet that, if you're a social media big dick player and you had a tweet that did mad decent five figgies like I did very easily, it's no big deal for me, I do one every day, but all the replies to it from normal Republicans are like, it looks like you got a dose of vitamin stupid. And it's like, do you realize your life is going to get worse in like a year? Like, not even that much time. Like, you just fuck yourself to give Bill Clinton a tax credit to buy his own pedophile airplane, you fucking idiot.
But I will say, I can't really hate the chuds that much any more than I could hate a raccoon for scurrying around my trash.
No, yeah.
But the
really,
people I hate the most are the sensible conservatives who wrote all of these op-eds saying that, this is bad for the deficit, where it seems like the Republican Party doesn't actually care about fiscal prudence anymore. And then the people who came out and said, you need to be nice to John McCain. He's a hero.
Can we talk about John McCain and his rotten family?
One of the... Arguably, the McCain family has taken more from the world than the Trump family.
We should...
It's just over time, it's one of the worst families in the fucking world.
We should do one segment every episode for every single senator in the rotten
we
family.
We should do...
They're all terrible.
We should do, like, Stephen Colbert's segment where he, like, profiles an individual
district.
But we should do it for a cancer cell in McCain's body. One of the worst living Americans. He wasn't even 30 years old, and he already had a fucking basement full of little Vietnamese skeletons. Absolute fucking monster through and through. And then in his entire public life, all he did, because DC journalists liked him personally. I don't know why, because he reminded them of their grandfather who would pull them aside and tell them a racist joke. I don't know why.
Protect Megan, though. Protect Megan.
Megan.
By the way, shout out
to... Fuck you, Megan.
Sorry, yeah. Shout out to Ashley Feinberg, who got in a little bit of a row this week when she tweeted, like, responding to John McCain's support for this awful tax bill, wrote, "Congratulations to John McCain's wife and children on their upcoming tax-free inheritance." And people got mad because they're like, "John McCain's dying. How dare you?" And Meghan McCain, like, demanded that she apologize to her mother and shit. But Ashley deleted it. She did respond, but she responded in a way that I thought was very funny and clever, and was, like, still basically twisting the knife. So shout out to
Meghan,
Ashley.
Meghan McCain came out with her fucking crocodile tears saying, "You owe my mom an apology."
Yeah, I mean, you owe my mom an apology.
Oh, fuck you.
She can dry her tears with the giant wads of cash she's going to get.
There's nothing more
her awful husband, who I guarantee you she hates, because we know that he's a complete piece of shit to her.
Oh, wait.
There's all these stories about him screaming at her in public and humiliating her. He cheated on her. She probably cheated on her every day of his fucking life. She hates him. She's waiting for him to fucking die. Well, and then she gets $200 million to swim around in, like Scrooge McDuck, when it's over. She's going to be fine.
Hang on. In Sidney McCain's defense, she's also a failed daughter heiress.
No, it is a comprehensive... That is the fail kid family, because John's dad and grandfather were admirals, and John couldn't even fly a plane for 10 minutes on the tutorial mode without fucking crashing. Fucking Cindy, fail daughter. Megan, one of the biggest fail daughters, who's just constantly shoved in our face. When her dad fucking keels over, we were talking about this before the show, she's going to start Hot Soup 2.0, but it's going to be called, like, The Steam, after The Steam on a Latte.
Meghan McCain just got engaged to that fucking
Ben Domino.
Ben Domino from The Federalist. And, like, people found after their engagement all these articles that Ben Domino wrote about Meghan McCain, fucking just insulting her.
Yeah. He was deeply contemptuous.
Yo, that is alpha game right there.
Yeah, you know what?
Long game, someone Megan. In The Federalist.
I wonder what kind of relationship she might have had with her father, where a guy who is just being a mean creep to her all the time attracts her. It's interesting.
Well, you know what? If there is... I don't think Ashley owes Cindy or Megan an apology, but...
She owes me an apology for deleting that tweet, frankly. Yeah.
Can we talk about another political fail daughter?
Ooh, which one?
Talking about Chelsea Clinton, and I want to talk about a piece courtesy of Bill Scherer.
Bill Scherer is the brainworm king. Bill Scherer, it's like, we've never talked about him on the show before, but you know how, like, we'll make fun of articles that are like, you know who's the original Rosa Parks? Hillary Clinton. We're like, oh, that's stupid. But Bill Scherer is like, he's living in 3017. Like, all his articles are like, you know what, actually, Bill Clinton is a black woman. And you're like, why not?
Yo, Bill Scherer rules. He's galactic brain.
Yeah,
he's
Bill Scherer will tell you straight to your face that fucking Bob Rubin should run for president. He's the fucking king. The king.
So as we were talking about, Tom Cotton is going to go to CIA. He's currently a senator from Arkansas. And Bill Scherer writes an article for Politico titled, "Clinton Should Run for Cotton's Senate Seat."
Ooh, okay.
And it's like, Clinton? Which one? And he goes through and he's like, well, you know, Hillary Clinton, she says, would have to overcome a lot of impediments to become only the
like
third.
Like stairs.
Rickets.
She goes, you know, Hillary's got too much baggage. Bill? No, he's got too much baggage, too, in today's sort of like post-Harvey Weinstein.
You know,
Weinstein,
the thing where people think rape is bad.
So he says, that leaves us with one Clinton, Chelsea.
Why do we have to pick a Clinton?
Why? Why?
Because the people of Arkansas still love the Clinton family.
No, they goes, don't.
She goes, definitely don't.
She goes, she has the
Clinton. Because Hillary won Arkansas, as we remember.
Remember when
she won Arkansas in 2016 people in a landslide?
People in Arkansas have fonder memories of the Bin Laden family.
He goes, she has the Clinton name, but little of the Clinton baggage.
Yeah, because she's never done anything.
She wouldn't hurt for name recognition or campaign cash. She's vice chair of the controversy magnet known as the Clinton Foundation, but emails released during the presidential campaign by WikiLeaks and the State Department show Chelsea caught doing good, seeking to root out corruption by foundation officials and warning of problems with the Haiti earthquake relief. She's an Arkansas native, even though she hasn't lived there since she was 12. Sure, she lives in Manhattan now and lacks a southern accent, but her mom bought her first house in New York 2 months before she launched her Senate bid. We were talking about this earlier. The example of New York is like fucking total red herring.
Yeah.
New York State, people don't give a fuck at all if you live there. New York State treats politicians like the Yankees treat baseball players. We just want big names just come here and represent
us.
We had a Kennedy. Exactly. Yeah. And we just want to, like, as Matt said, we just want to think big names. They're like, we feel gratified that they come to us to represent us. Do you think they feel that way at all in fucking the Ozarks? like I said, I was thinking like Chelsea Clinton is going to be campaigning campaigning to the women who showed Jennifer Lawrence where her father's body is in Winter's Bone.
She's going to be wearing a camo jacket and one of those hats with a broken brim. I want to see her try chaw. That would rule.
Chelsea Clinton's campaign announcement, it's going to be her and her fucking moron hedge fund manager fail husband.
I love that she literally married. Yeah. She is Ivanka Trump. She literally married Jared. Yeah. She has her own Jared.
She married a less attractive
Jared. She married Jared without the powerhouse Jewish summer camp counselor social charisma. But their campaign ad is going to be them wearing overalls and playing a banjo and washboards. But then she goes, let's talk better pay-as-you-go measures for Medicare.
She goes, and I'm sorry, I just got to read one more paragraph here. Where
Bill Scheer, you fucking wrong, dude. Bill, I love you.
Bill, yes, man. King.
The new Bill Bradsky is Bill Scheer.
He says, we all know she's gearing up to run for something someday. She sharpened her political presence on Twitter. What is he talking about? She's released two books this year, the popular children's history book, She Persisted, and the less noticed but weightier, Governing Global Health, Who Runs the World and Why, in which she and a global public health professor explore how effective international organizations have been at combating infectious diseases.
By Chelsea Clinton, featuring Professor Frank.
That book is this health professor just describing all the new diseases that were discovered on her mother.
This article fucking rules.
I'm not even mad at this.
I know, Bill Scheer.
Now we're rolling kings. Yeah, pimps. All pimps out there. Yeah. We started the
Bill
show.
Bill Scheer, you're the biggest pimp.
We're getting you back. And there's a lot of despair in the first half. But guys, let's just have fun now.
Woohoo!
Let's have fun and talk about...
Wait. Before we do, can we just talk about that Chuck Grassley tweet?
Comment
really briefly.
Okay.
Chuck Grassley, the only person older than Nancy Pelosi.
Well, the thing to mention about that is because it's about this fucking tweet is about the estate tax, which was repealed completely, I believe, in the House bill. And will probably make it into committee because they really want to get rid of it.
It's not controversial.
That's what's insane about it. The fact that you fuck up messaging on something like the inheritance tax is the biggest indictment possible. Because everyone hates rich kids.
Yes, thank you.
You're a piece of shit asshole who never lifted a finger, and then you get a bunch of money when your parent dies. It is repulsive. It doesn't even libertarians who fixate on dessert theory of wealth and things like that. And well, you know, people, those CEOs work hard. Well, they're shitty asshole kids, sure as fuck don't, and we all hate them. Who's the bad guy in all the John Wick movies? It's not a mafia boss. It's a mafia boss's shitty fucking kid. That's true of every mafia movie, every gang movie. The bad guy is always the shitty asshole kid who had everything handed to him, never lifted a finger for himself, and that is every rich asshole's kid in America. They would be so easy to point them out and say, these people do not deserve this money. And yet... we are fundamentally incapable of talking about it that way. Part of that reason, by the way, is you have people like Bill Scheer and an entire journalism class of people gormlessly and totally taking in the idea that these dynasties are to be. You just expect, of course, these people's idiot kids are going to be brought into the journalism. Let's bring in Meghan McCain. Let's bring in fucking Ronan Farrow. Oh, hey, is that Abby Huntsman at the door? Come on in. It's a party. You're a bunch of fucking witless dipshits who spent your entire lives like doing coke at your fucking private school and then Instagramming it. And now you're going to talk to us on the fucking national media? Of course there's no fucking vocabulary to point out that these dickheads did nothing to deserve their status and that the money that they're going to get would be vastly better spent actually making people's lives better.
Except Barron. Defend Barron.
Yeah, defend Barron. But, like, if there was a house fire at David Geffen's compound and, like, you know, a fucking, a plane crash or on Wall Street, a more ambitious one, and the entire donor class of the Democratic Party got wiped out and it became, like, a Corbyn party, you would win every seat in the House if you did something like you found every descendant of like the Johnson & Johnson fortune and went to Bushwick and went to their like performance art shows and said this is what we're going to get if we don't tax inheritance 100%.
That's exactly why I don't give a shit. Children are not off limits to these ruling class sickos. We should be attacking Meghan McCain. We should be running ads showing the fucking psychopath Trump sons, not Barron, Meghan McCain, Chelsea Clinton, the cast of HBO's Girls, people who are widely reviled no matter who you are or where you stand in society, unless you're just an extreme partisan moron, and just say, these are the people who benefit at your expense in society. They're getting hundreds of millions of dollars.
That they never fucking work for.
But
we basically have decided to pretend that you're taxing the that's why they call, I mean, that was the Frank Luntz idea, was
right.
The death tax. You're being taxed at death, but you're dead. The money is no longer yours. It is going to a new person, and that new person is a spoiled piece of shit who's going to use the money to buy a fucking loft in fucking Dumbo and just have a bathtub full of cocaine in it. And another bathtub with acid to dissolve the people who overdose on the cocaine accidentally.
And that's the problem, is Democrats will never, ever have the moral grounding to be able to make that argument when you have people like Joe Manchin in your caucus.
Yep.
Yeah, pimping.
Joe Manchin, pimp.
Pimping. Let me just spit some truth right here, pimping. Chuck Grassley, this is what he said. This wasn't a tweet, but this was a comment he made about the estate tax. He says, this was just today, he goes, I think not having the estate tax recognizes the people that are investing as opposed to those that are just spending every darn penny they have, whether it's on booze or women or movies.
Stop seeing Buster Keaton talkies.
Stop going to the Nickelodeon.
How? That is the oldest sentence I've ever heard.
Movies.
Spending money on movies.
Millennials spend too much money on phosphates.
You can wait until the circus is in town next season.
Too many of Mr. Graham's crackers.
Yeah. Now, if you excuse me, I have to go. Wait, you know what? Actually, he's right. Movies are super expensive now. And another thing, Brain Tonic is back in the form of nootropics. We're in the super gilded age. Holy shit. This rocks, dude. My dad is John D. Rockefeller. I'm going to write my little fucking diary that I tried smoking cigarettes and it wasn't for me and my wife joined the temperance movement. I don't give a shit anymore.
Let's have some more fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's have some more fun and talk about... Let's talk about Jared again.
Oh. King. Finally a man, Chaim Saban, did the ceremony. Jared stuttered reading the Torah. Baruch atah Adonai.
Jared spoke. And again, and this,
he's finally
this,
having
this
sex.
This is perfect because it gets back exactly what we were saying about, like, if only there was something the Democrats could do. It's just like, well, they had all these choices, and the one they made was to have fucking Chaim Saban be Hillary Clinton's probably biggest booster.
Chaim Saban, owner of Deadspin.
This is a shithead who just hosted Jared at the Saban Summit.
Yep.
And literally thanked him for what is maybe a violation of the Logan Act, which was reaching out to Russia to intervene in a UN vote about Israeli settlements.
Hold on. You know what? To quote Ricky from Trailer Park Boys, I'm not the sort of person who says a toto-so, but a fucking a toto-so.
Remember when we were talking about Russiagate and we're like, Israel does this shit all the time? Well, well, well. Look who is violating the Logan Act on behest of Israel.
I mean,
bitch.
Who the fuck knows if he. Look, Trump wasn't actually president when he made this overture to Russia, which is funny. But I mean,
it doesn't matter.
Who cares? Yeah. I don't give a shit. But, like, I would just. Again, I would love to see Jared go to jail, obviously.
Yeah, that's the only enjoyment we can even vaguely hope for.
So this is at the Saban Forum, brought to you by
I'm permabanned from that forum.
Yeah.
And I'm settlement stomper 58.
You beat me by a second.
Jared, I saw you reaching.
Jared talked about because you know he's our special Middle East envoy.
And special. His official title is special little perfect boy from the Middle East,
Chapo Middle East correspondent.
And he's gonna
personal friend of Felix Biederman.
He's going to solve the Israel Palestine issue. And he said it's like a real estate issue.
That's right, dude. It's like, Sykes-Picot is just a bad zoning thing. You just got to pay a fat Italian
guy.
But,
like, this is one of your favorite things, Felix. It's a real estate issue because Jared is going to just go to China and beg some billionaire to buy the West Bank.
That's the best thing. So, yeah, Saban, like, starts out by going, this is an endlessly impressive 36-year-old boy who gave up his interest in real estate to help us all. And it's, like, the only thing Jared has actually done is, like, he's, like, I'm going to go to China to work on a deal. And he just spends his entire time there, per diem $5,000 lunches with like the sons of Chinese party officials, and going, please, please buy it, please buy it, please
and
buy
off,
it. The ceilings
off,
aren't that
offering,
low.
Offering green cards in exchange for fucking buying his shitty building, which is just breathtaking and something that is kind of astounding that we just kind of forgot.
Yeah, we just totally forgot.
Commenting on how Trump plans to deliver, quote, the ultimate deal of solving the Israel-Palestine dispute, Kushner said, our goal is to go beyond signing a piece of paper into creating an environment that builds jobs and opportunities like never before.
So Jared's going to bring Uber to Palestine. He's the real hero of Palestine. Jared's going to get a PFLP pin, a vintage one.
Oh, I love Jared.
I mean, how do you him to fix the Middle East? The guy whose two jobs were borrowing $2 billion to buy a shitty building and turning the New York Observer into a coloring book.
I know that you said it as a joke, Will, but China buying the occupied territories actually makes the most sense. It seems like the most feasible thing.
That's probably what's going to end up happening.
I mean, China should just take this whole thing over. I don't care anymore. President Xi seems like a fine man. If he's got some room for a podcast.
Family man.
President Xi, my co-hosts aren't really hot. I'm moving to Iran, but I will accept China.
One belt, one road, one podcast.
Yeah. President Xi, I respect you. I love you. You're a pimp. You're a gangster.
You're a big dick player.
You're a big dick player.
All right. You guys ready for some more pimping?
Yes.
Yeah. Ready for some more pimping? Okay. Here we go. We're having fun now. Okay. The Washington Post just came out with a hilarious account of Corey Landrowski's...
Lewandowski.
Fuck.
It's okay. I only know that because I grew up in Chicago, which is just the most Polish people you've ever seen in your life.
This is Corey. Here are some words that rhyme with
Corey in the house.
Okay, so they have a highlight reel of his soon-to-be-released campaign tell-all book. And man, oh man, there is some funny shit in here. I'm just going to begin here. It says, the article starts, Elton John blares so loudly on Donald Trump's campaign plane that the staffers can't hear themselves think.
That's good.
Press Secretary Hope Hicks uses a steamer to press Trump's pants while he's still wearing them.
Awesome.
Trump screams at his top aides who are subjected to expletive-filled tirades in which they get their face ripped off.
Baller. Cool.
And Trump's appetite seems to know no bounds when it comes to McDonald's, with a dinner order consisting of two Big Macs,
Jesus,
two Filet-O-Fish, and a chocolate malted.
Jesus,
imagine eating
fucking Christ.
Four McDonald's sandwiches for dinner every day.
All right.
This is Matt and I were talking about this before.
More like, cubic
yo,
by
yo,
the day.
Fuck this hell world. How is he still alive?
How is Rich Piana? Rich Piana is dead and Donald Trump is alive.
How is he still alive? How is his entire intestinal tract just not like anal beads, but they're tumors? How is that not
this
everything
is,
inside of his body?
He has
this
not is, eaten a piece of, like a single item of non-processed food in probably 60 years.
He does not eat fruit. He does not eat vegetables. The only reason he doesn't have scurvy is because of all the fucking ketchup that he eats.
All right. All right. This is episode 900 of More Presidential by the Fucking Day. So we're up bright and early at 6 a.m. Right now we're watching Fox and Friends. I'm going to walk over to the TV and thank them for a great TV episode. Fucking awesome. Great work. I love you guys. I don't know how you get in the fucking TV. All right. Right now I'm about to eat my two McDoubles. These are morning McDoubles. They don't have cheese on them. Cheese is for later in the day after Jared tells you about a phone call with a Chinese guy he had that you don't pay attention to. Right now, I'm going to summon Jeff Sessions to the office and make him stand under a ruler. We have to have him admit that he's 5'6" every day of his life. He can only keep doing racism if I humiliate him.
I mean, if you can't laugh at this, then what the fuck are you
remember
doing?
Right?
There's nothing else to do.
When Trump took his first flight on Air Force One and there was this press gaggle around him? He's just grinning like an idiot. And there's a loud TV blaring.
Yep, I remember that.
Just like New York One or something. And just daytime news ads. And you just hear 1-800-EMPIRE. So fucking loud. And this is just all he hears all day. He's one of the bad children. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
No, he's the son from Bad Santa. He's Lauren Graham's son from Bad Santa.
She's Thurman Merman.
Thurman Merman, yeah. Where he cuts himself on the advent calendar. Ow! Ow!
No, he cut himself trying to whittle a wooden pickle as a gift for Billy Bob Thornton.
Sorry.
Frankly, I don't get it. If it's not edible, why would they make wood out of something?
Yeah, the detail about flaring Elton John is like fucking Almost Famous. They're all singing Tiny Dancer on the plane together. But this is the next really funny bit about Manafort, where it says, in a section of the book written by Lewandowski, Trump is described as flying on his helicopter when he learns that Manafort has said Trump shouldn't be on television anymore. That's the cardinal sin. That he shouldn't be on the Sunday shows and that Manafort should appear instead. Trump was angrier than Lewandowski had ever seen him, ordering the pilot to lower the altitude so he could make a cell phone call. This is him now. Did you say I shouldn't be on TV Sunday? I'll go on TV any goddamn fucking time I want, and you won't say another fucking word about me, Trump yelled at Manafort. Tone it down? I want to turn it up. You're a political pro? Let me tell you something. I'm a pro at life. I've been around a time or two. I know guys like you with your hair and skin. Guys like you with your hair and skin. You know those weird things that guys like you have?
You weird son of a bitch with your epidermal layer of protection to keep you from being damaged by weather, you weird bitch. I just have a thin pink layer of slime from 50 years of eating McChickens.
You're fired. You're all fired. I'm hiring a choir of dancing skeletons from a 1930s cartoon.
And so this is the best follow-up line, though, when he said, I know guys like you with your hair and skin. Or when he said, I'm a pro at life. Lewandowski called it, quote, one of the greatest takedowns in the history of the world.
If you showed Lewandowski a video of like a feral hog screaming at another over an apple, he would be like destroyed.
What is the opposite? So like there's always a joke somebody was cursed, like, you know, they ran over a Roma or they fucking like kicked a leprechaun.
Thinner.
Yeah. What is the opposite of that? Like, did he accidentally give a leprechaun an orgasm or something? Because he is the most charmed oaf in the history of the world. He eats nothing but charred gristle and grade F meat for 70 years. He has no cancers. He is nothing but fails and fucks up and loses billions of dollars, and he just keeps getting it back.
Winning. Dude, he's
a
winner.
And then he becomes fucking president.
He's a pro at life.
And not just that. That Lewandowski thing is perfect because he's not even like, just on his surface, he's not like a clever or charming person in any way, but just any of the insane, stupid things he says, like 30% of the country, including Corey Lewandowski, is like, he's a wizard with words. He's so cool. But like, just, he gets up there and he's like,
You know what? I'm just going to say right now, Geraldo, we've had a turbulent relationship. And people are like, I'd fucking die for you. You're so cool.
What's so amazing, though, is that America's awful atavistic capitalism is propped up by this ideology of deserved wealth and the self-made man is this fantasy figure that basically justifies all manner of grotesque inequality. Even if he doesn't exist, the idea of the self-made man exists. And because we don't want to stop that from happening, that glorious miracle of someone rising from nothing and through their own guile and grit becoming rewarded with massive success, because we want to make that possible, we're willing to overlook devastating, horrifying inequality and injustice. And that our president is the anti-Horatio Alger. He is the guy who just fucks up repeatedly, is manifestly incompetent and corrupt, and never pays for it. His entire existence repudiates the entire fantasy behind American capitalism,
yeah.
And yet people just can't process it, I guess, so they just turn it around and be like, no, he wouldn't have the money if he wasn't smart and good at his job.
It's transparently a sham, but, you know, fortunately, I think more and more people are realizing what a sham meritocracy is. And what you need is an actual political movement or structure that takes advantage of that.
And you know what?
We just don't have it now.
We had a lot of despair today, but I think we need to have a little bit of fucking sunshine and a little bit of optimism.
Chris, play Walking on Sunshine.
And it is the fact that we clearly are seeing a change in the way people think about this shit.
Oh, yeah.
We're clearly seeing, like we were talking about after the off-year elections, how you're seeing the beginning of sort of a Bush-era post-2006 souring on national Republicans and a willingness of people to come out to vote against them. But this time, there were so many people who were getting brought in on that wave who are out-socialists, who are genuinely purporting forth that class-first vision that we said has been missing. So it's coming back.
Yes. We need Jezza, we need you.
Come over here, King.
Yeah. That's very true, Matt. And, you know, obviously a lot of people are going to be swept in this wave, and it's also going to be a lot of, you know, DNC, D-Trip favored candidates, like just stuttering veterans who talk about means-testing Medicare and things like that. So if you think that And I hear people talk about this a lot. If you maintain this fantasy that this rift in the Democratic Party is anytime soon going to be bridged in time for 2018 or beyond, that's just not going to happen. One side has to win, and that's it.
This country is insanely stupid and probably doomed. But let's just dive back into this article because it's really fucking funny.
Okay,
it goes. This is In another episode, Lewandowski describes how staffer Sam Nunberg was purposely left behind at a McDonald's because Nunberg's special order burger was taking too long. Leave him, Trump said. Let's go. And they
power
did.
Move.
Power move.
Oh, my God.
Here he goes. Trump's fast food diet is a theme. On Trump Force One, there were four major food groups: McDonald's, Kentucky Fried Chicken, pizza, and Diet Coke. The plane's cupboards were stacked with Vienna fingers, potato chips, pretzels, and many packages of Oreos because Trump, a renowned germaphobe, would not eat from a previously opened package. The book notes that orchestrating and timing of Mr. Trump's meals was as important to any other aspect of his march to the presidency, and it describes the elaborate of efforts that Lewandowski and other top aides went through to carefully time their delivery of hot fast food to Trump's plane as he was departing his rallies. Wet boy loves hot fast food.
Oh my God.
Father's food must be hot.
Oh my God.
Hot,
you know, that's what's gonna take him down is probably a salmonella outbreak. He puts fucking Krusty the Clown in charge of the FDA.
Yeah. Yeah, no, felled by his own
or the
sword.
USDA.
You know what's amazing is that the other campaign was the greatest collection of hyper ambitious psychos, and they had over $1 billion. And
yeah,
the other
people were just really funny.
We're just a bunch of guys who were taking Chinese off brand Cialis and giving Big Macs to an infant. And the infant team won. These people, since they were 12 years old, were thinking about their entrance essays to Harvard versus just all these dumbasses and the big meal baby, the big fat meal baby, and they won. They fucking won.
Oh my God.
Oh my fucking God.
Well,
Before, oh man, I wish I could.
Fuck me.
I wish I could have been there to see the looks on their faces,
dude. That would have been the only regret I have about our election night show is that we didn't do it at the Javits Center.
Yeah,
imagine seeing just this ice chewing psychopath who thought he was going to be like a State Department undersecretary when they're like, the McDonald's guy won Wisconsin. The team of guys who can't go into Pep Boys because they said the wrong racial slur to a cashier. They beat you.
But you know what, though? Fair and square, they did, but they were helped along the way because the GOP's own ice-chewing psychopaths had plowed the field for them by doing voter suppression in many states.
That's right.
And decreasing turnout by increasing voter ID laws and making it harder to vote, shutting voting places, and they were doing that with that clear-eyed psycho intensity of any of these professional political operatives, and then it all went to the benefit of the fat orange idiot rolling down a hill in a giant barrel.
Dianne Feinstein thinks that they're going to get him on an obstruction of justice case.
did you see the thing today where, like,
this criminal genius. Yeah.
Did you see the thing
he's
today?
He's like Walter White.
Did you see the thing today where he tweeted what many lawyers have basically said it is an admission of obstruction of justice? And then one of Trump's flunky lawyers just came out and said, I tweeted that.
Which is an obvious lie.
That's amazing. He has all the dumbest, most selfish man who fucks over everyone who believes in him.
He has a lawyer named Ty Cobb. Yeah. You know, that dude is batting 400, dude. Can you believe that shit?
But they didn't even fire that guy, which if... Oh, yeah, I tweeted something under my client's name that is an admission of obstruction of justice. You should probably be fired, but he's still there, which makes me think he's just like, oh, I said it. I wrote the Iggy. I did the Iggy.
That's the final most amazing thing about Trump. Trump fucks over everyone who's closest to him. Like, he fucked over Christie, he fucked over Giuliani. Now this lawyer guy. And it's like there's no reason to, like, ride with him unless you're – need to sell a shitty building, but people are still like, no, I want to be with this guy, this untrustworthy, petulant, fat infant.
It'll be cool when that lawyer says that under oath and just gets immediately disbarred, and Trump still wins the case.
Trump's like, I told you he was a fucking loser. You fail. He forgets that they made that deal. He doesn't hold up his end of the bargain. It's gonna happen.
So we're almost over here. I mean, as a show and a society. But I do want to close with like one just serious thought that like we've been hitting out. Like, obviously, if you're feeling a lot of despair, like I share it with you, because and like it's getting harder. It's hard to imagine a way out of this in the near future. However, I do believe that the majority of people in this country, if someone were to articulate a vision, like, you know, if we had a figure like Corbyn who said, you know, rise like lions, we are many, they are fewer, could articulate a vision that is contra to this like nightmare that we're living in, I think people, like, I think there are more people than ever in this country that like that is like the broad base of support for that. It doesn't exist. Like, the political infrastructure for that doesn't exist.
And there are people that I'm optimistic.
We got to try to create it from scratch or just do something.
There are people I'm optimistic about, like specifically Carlos Rosa in Chicago running for Illinois 4th District. Vote for Carlos when the time comes. But yeah, you know, like they can come out of nowhere. People really can. Like, and
yeah.
And in the absence of a leader, you need a movement. You need a mass movement.
And yes. You know,
and like I said,
believe
it needs
me, like,
to be more than about
here's
elections.
The thing, like as Matt was pointing out, like the people, all the assholes know this, and that's why they're trying as hard as possible to make people's lives more precarious through their awful judges that are going to just infest our entire federal judiciary for probably as long as I'm fucking alive, are going to make it just our democracy even more of a sham than it already is. They're going to they're going
to
empower
to the game facts message board moderators and disbarred magicians that Trump has nominated the judiciary John McCain rubber stamped every single
one. I cannot
one.
Wait for the viral videos about the Trump justices. Yeah, street magician destroys pro-choice activists.
Look, I don't know what you're talking about. I think that Logan and Jake Paul are going to break great federal judges.
Well, you're like, so like, We described all this horrible shit that they're doing and that they're getting away with, but like they're doing it because they know how fucking like that in a functioning democracy they couldn't do this.
Yeah, right.
And they're doing it to hold on, to just clamp down even more of the fucking power and money that they have because they know it can get taken away from them.
Yep.
And we have to. That's the only thing to do. And they're gonna use the law and government and money to make it harder and harder to do that. But like, again, just there are more of us than there are of them. I don't know what else to say, but yeah.
It's a start at least.
It's a start. So I want to leave you guys now with something that I think, like I said, just really sums up just America and our culture.
Honestly, if there was somebody who was in a 2-year coma who woke up and looked at what was around us and spent a good 4 or 5 hours in sputtering, incoherent rage and terror and confusion, and they then said, "What the fuck happened?" I think you could sit them down and show them this commercial. And it would really tell them everything they needed to know.
So that's it for us this week. We'll talk to you soon. But until then, I give you Trumpy Bear.
The wind whispered through the forest. A storm is coming. You cannot defeat the storm. From the trees rose a resounding voice. I fear nothing. I come when the trumpet sounds. I am the storm.
I also come when the trumpet sounds.
American Grizzly. Introducing the original Trumpy Bear.
These are going to be the tackiest concentration camps ever.
American Grizzly. Trumpy Bear was born June 14th.
American Grizzly? Isn't that the name of like, the gay bear magazine?
And pull out the flag blanket. Then wrap yourself in the red, white, and blue for comfort and warmth. Show your patriotism and proudly display.
I like how they tell people how to use a blanket.
And on any American holiday, Trumpy can
hug your little bear buddy and family heroes.
God bless America and God bless Trumpy Bear.
Holy Trumpy shit. Bear sits proudly at the front of the motorcycle for all the world to see and loves.
You know how we said neoliberalism makes everyone adult Marine, infants? It's also nationalism.
Trumpy Bear ride
that.
By my side. Once a Marine, always a Marine.
Everyone knows Trumpy Holy Bear shit. Loves to go to the golf course.
When I ride with Trumpy Bear, he makes my golf game great again. Thank you, Trumpy Bear.
Simply style his trademark hair and place him in his favorite chair. Even the toughest guys will love Trumpy Bear.
When America is great, business is great. When business is great, I am
great. You can
great.
Hollow him out and turn him into a Trumpy diaper. Bear.
I am an army.
I'm telling my plush animal to kill Colin Kaepernick.
Bear, and I will always be
can have
proud
sex with it.
To be an American.
Order the Super Plush Trumpy Bear for only two payments
I'm
of
$19.95 and receive a special certificate of authenticity.
Don't miss out on owning a piece of American history. Order now for only two payments
the liberal
of $19.95.
Hates my binky.
Trumpy, the most fearless bear anywhere. Order now.
I'm sorry, the bear is $40.
Well, I know what I'm getting you guys for Christmas.
Two payments of $19.95.
Yeah, my bear got taken out by a Black Lives Matter thug.
I'm sorry, it's
$28. One payment left.
Till next time, guys.
Bye-bye.
Order your Trumpy bears now.
Bye.
Bye.